So today's sermon is Believer's Freedom, God's Glory by Pastor Paul Lam.
Oh, Jeffrey is so tall. Good morning. I wonder if you are awake or I'm talking just in the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's good that we could be responsive to one another, especially responsive to God as we hear the Word of God together. And before we do that, let us come before the Lord and ask Him to bless the following time. All right? So let us join our minds and hearts together. Father God, we thank You for granting us the Bible. Thank You for speaking to us through Your Word every day and every Sunday. Lord, as we continue to study 1 Corinthians, we pray that You will continue to guide us so that we can walk into Your truth. We'll be surrounded and guided by Your truth. Lord, we want to walk in a way pleasing and acceptable to You. So may Your Spirit move ever so freely in our midst now, opening up our minds and our hearts so that we can truly understand what You have to say to us this morning. Lord, sometimes we may not be so attentive, we may not be that teachable, and we may not even be that humble. And before You this morning, let us just bow down before You, worshiping You, but at the same time, being humble to receive Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have an American pastor in our midst, Pastor Andy. Who else is an American here? Nobody else? Wow. Yeah. And Brittany is going to be American as well, right? A naturalized American citizen. I used to live in Seattle for some years, and my children went to schools in Seattle, and so they learned a bit about American history, and maybe you have too. Now, let me ask you this. I'm gonna say this statement, and you tell me who made the statement, all right? Give me liberty or give me death. Who said that? Oh, very good, Jeffrey. Well, no, don't say it yet. Pastor Andy, you know, he should pass, right? He's American. He studied it all his life. You don't remember, Pastor Andy? Okay, Jeffrey. That's absolutely right. Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. So, Pastor Andy, maybe you should take a refresher course on American history. Okay? Anyway, yeah, give me liberty or give me death. Liberty is so precious. It's so important for a person's existence. You know, there is this Chinese saying, and I translate it for you. All right, hope that you get it. Life is precious. Love is more precious. But for the sake of liberty or freedom, I'd rather give them up altogether. Now, that speaks volumes for the importance of liberty or freedom. In the past few Sundays, we studied 1 Corinthians chapters 8 to 10, we learned about our attitude toward eating meat that has been offered to idols. And at the same time, we explore this topic, the topic of Christian freedom or Christian liberty. Now, when the Bible doesn't say clearly what we should do or should not do, how should we choose? How should we decide? In chapter 8, Paul tells us, love is more important than knowledge. So we cannot just, you know, care for our own freedom at the expense of other people's interests. And then in chapter 9, Paul said he would rather give up his freedom and be enslaved to everybody in order to win somebody for Christ. And then in chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 22, he uses the history of the Israelites as lessons to remind us that let us not be so arrogant. Let us not be thinking that, oh, we have this protection in Christ, and as a result, we become so so loose, and we let our guards down, and eventually we fall into temptation. Now, in this morning's passage, Jeffrey just read for us, chapter 10, verse 23 to chapter 11, verse 1, Paul concludes his teaching of Christian liberty. Now, in this passage, there is one important Bible verse, one of the precious Bible verses in the Bible, and that is the second part of verse 31. Let us read it together. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's right. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This verse spells out the goal of our life, the goal of our existence here on earth. And that is to bring God the glory, to glorify God. Now, how can we use Christian freedom to bring glory to God? Well, first of all, the Apostle Paul points out in verse 23 that I have the right to do anything. Or the Chinese Bible says, you know, we can do anything. We have a permission to do anything. You remember this verse first appeared in chapter 6, verse 12. When Paul was still with the Corinthians, he taught them this. You know, I have the right to do anything. And then some Corinthian Christians misused this and said, well, you know, don't you hear what Paul said? We have the right to do anything, so we can do anything. And as a consequence, you know, they abused their freedom. They indulged themselves in prostitution, in extramarital affairs, in eating meat that been offered to idols. And as a result of all those activities, they become stumbling blocks to people. Now, in fact, yes, you know, we have the right to do anything. But certainly it doesn't include sin. Certainly it doesn't include things that have been clearly forbidden in the Bible. Now, even if the Bible hasn't really stated clearly, in the so-called gray areas, we cannot say, I have the right to do anything, or everything is permissible. Now, Paul says, yes, you know, we Christians have the freedom to do anything. But, as he says here, but not everything is beneficial. But not everything is constructive. Now, here, he continues in verse 24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. From these verses, we get two principles to help us to decide whether we should do something or not, especially in the so-called gray areas. The first principle is building up others is more important than satisfying ourselves. Building up others is more important than satisfying ourselves. And then the second principle is others are more important than ourselves. Paul repeats this in verse 33. He says, for even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Now, Paul is not teaching us to be an apple polisher. You know what that means, right? Okay? That is, he's not teaching us to be a yes man all the time. Oh, whatever you says, yes. Whatever you do, yes. Now, in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, he says, I do not seek to please men, but I seek to listen to God. I seek to obey God. You know, Paul does not want us to abuse our Christian freedom to satisfy our own needs or our own desires. He wants us to use our Christian freedom to help people to know the gospel and eventually get saved, right? Now, in between these principles, from verse 25 to verse 32, Paul cites three actual examples, real-life examples, to help to guide the Corinthian Christians to decide how to apply these principles. All these three situations are related to purchasing meat at the market. Now, Paul already talked about that from verse 19 to verse 21. He already instructed the Corinthian Christians about what they should do when it comes to eating meat offered to idols. But here, there is a little difference. Now, in verse 19 to 21, Paul stated very clearly, no Christians, no believers of Jesus Christ should go to the temple and attend any banquet there. Because if you attend any banquet in any temple, you'll be eating meat offered to idols. And he warns us, right? In verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. He states that very clearly. But what about, you know, purchasing meat, shopping for meat in the market? You know, what should the Corinthian Christians do? You remember that. The meat offered to idols sometimes, or not sometimes, all the time, was divvied up and given to the priests. And the priests cannot finish all the meat, and so what do? They would sell it, right, to the market. They would sell it to the market. And when people go shopping, there's no way for them to tell which portion of the meat has been offered to idols, which portion of the meat has not been offered to idols. Now, if they cannot eat meat in the temple, what about buying meat in the market and take it home and cook it and eat it? Well, Paul says this in verse 25. Sure, by all means, just go ahead and eat to your heart's content. Don't ask questions that would really, you know, add pressure to your conscience. Don't let your conscience be burdened by that kind of question. Because just as verse 26 says, verse 26 is actually a quote from Psalm 24, verse 1. It says what? It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, when you go buying mutton, buying lamb chop or whatever at the meat market, remember this. All that is created by God. And when God created it, God considered it clean. Right? God considered it good. And so, you know, it is good. And besides, you know, Paul says in verse 19, idols are nothing. That means idols are false. They are not real. And so, you know, don't ask questions that would burden your conscience. Just go right ahead and eat it. And besides, when the meat has been sold to the butcher, you can't really tell. You can't really trace its origin. You know, there's no way telling. And so, why bother? Just go right ahead and take it home, cook it, and eat to your heart's content, right? That's the first real life situation. And the second real life situation is in verse 27. You know, there is a non-believer inviting a Corinthian member to his home and enjoy his hospitality. He's bound to serve meat. So what is the Corinthian member going to do? Well, he is going to deal with that situation the same way he deals with buying meat in the market. Just go ahead. Don't ask any questions. And eat. and enjoy their hospitality. But there is an exception. And the exception is found in verse 28 to 30. The exception is this. For example, let me put it in a Chinese context. I'm Chinese, so I put it in a Chinese context. All right? You are invited to a party. And in the party, you meet somebody who just became a Christian. All right? He and you talk for a while, and then after that, the dinner begins, and it's buffet. Wow! As you are lining up, what do you smell? You smell barbecue duck, barbecue pork. You smell roast pork, right? Yuju, you know what that is, right? Wow! Everything that you enjoy. And just as you are about to put your chopsticks into them, and that young believer, new believer said, "Hey, you know what? Just now I overheard this. The cook in the kitchen said, all this meat has been offered to idols. And before I became a Christian, I used to visit temples. And I worshiped idols left, right, and center. And I ate that kind of meat all the time. But now I'm a Christian. I don't feel right eating that kind of meat anymore." What would you do? Wow! I was going to use my chopsticks, right? What are you going to do? What would you do? Well, based on Paul's teaching, right? You should not put your chopsticks, put your fork into the meat. You rather eat what? Veggies, salads, whatever, right? You don't eat meat. Why? Well, because Paul says this in verse 29, the underlined. "For why is my freedom being judged by another person's or another's conscience?" You know, the word judge can be translated as condemn. Why should my conscience my freedom be condemned by another's conscience? And what that means is, for the sake of other people's interests, I'd rather give up eating barbecue pork, barbecue duck, or roast pig, because I don't want that person's conscience to be condemned. I don't want that person to feel uneasy. You still remember chapter 8, verse 1, right? Knowledge puffs up while love builds up. When Christian makes decisions, they don't make them based on knowledge. They make them based on love. We cannot insist, "Hey, I'm free in Christ, so I can do whatever I want. The heck with other people." We should really consider other people's feelings. We should really consider giving up our freedom in order to help other people. Paul says, "I don't want to insist on my freedom, lest other people's conscience be condemned." And so he continues in verse 30. He says, "If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for?" And what that means is, while I have given thanks to God for the food I'm about to enjoy, when I am enjoying it, at the same time, somebody beside me is condemning me, is rebuking me, is denouncing me for what I am doing. That's ridiculous. How silly it is. How can I give thanks to God for food, and then when I'm eating the food, I'm condemned? And so Paul says in verse 32, he says, "Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Now here Paul reiterates the principles once again, and that is, when I have to choose between other people's interests and my own privileges, I'd rather choose other people's interests, lest I should cause them to stumble. I don't know what you would do when you come into, you know, a situation where it is not so clear what you should do. You know, it's a 50-50 situation. It's a gray area. And many a time I will ask, should I do this? Should I not do this? Is it right for me to do this? Is it right for me not to do this? Oh, but this morning, through this passage, I've learned this. I should ask questions in a different way from now on. I should ask, is what I'm going to do glorifying God? Is what I'm going to do building up people? Is what I'm going to do helping me to be more like Christ? If the answer is negative, I should not do it at all. Even the answer is still, you know, yes, I may do it or I may not do it. There's no right, no wrong. I still choose not to do it. I'd rather use my time, my life, to do something meaningful, to do something that has eternal value. Or what I am going to choose to do may not be, you know, anything evil. But if it makes me or other people feel uneasy, if it may even tempt me, lure me into temptation and sin, and if it would definitely cause other people to stumble, I definitely should not do it. You know, Paul teaches us, whatever we do, we should do it for the glory of God. You know, the freedom we have in Christ is not for our own pleasure. It's not for our own enjoyment. It is really for the glory of God. And so let us read this again. So together, please join me. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do it all for the glory of God. Now, eating and drinking are the basic necessities of life, right? They are daily actions. We do that at least 3 times a day, including your recesses, including your coffee breaks, including your whatever. Every day you do at least 5, 6, 10 times, right? Munching away, drinking your coffee. I hope that you're not drinking your so-called, you know, power drink. That is, you know, addictive, you know that. So these are very, you know, common actions in life. But Paul is saying, even in the most common things in life, even in the most basic things in life, we can still glorify God. Now this guy, Arturo Toscanini, was a famous musician and conductor. Now on his 80th birthday, somebody asked his son, what would your father consider the most accomplished thing he has ever done in life? You know what his son said? His son said, well, as far as my father is concerned, he never considered anything as accomplished. As far as my father is concerned, whatever and whenever he does something, whether it is conducting the symphony, whether it is so simple, so common as peeling an orange, he would strive his utmost. He would do his very best. You hear that, brothers and sisters? This is the kind of attitude we all should have. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and no matter how big or small things that we do it for the glory of God. And the glory of God is God's reputation. The glory of God is God's renown. The glory of God is God's honor. The glory of God is God's fame. When we think about doing things for the glory of God in every area of life, then we will do our very best to manifest it, to express it. You know, in a Christian camp, in the kitchen, over the sink, somebody placed a sign. On the sign, it says, 3 times a day, we worship God here. Wow. Washing dirty dishes can also be something that we do to glorify God. Who wash dishes at home? Anybody? Good for you. Good for you, Pastor Andy. I feel happy for you, Brittany. Yeah, you have got a very good man. Yeah, even those so-called tedious chores you can do to glorify God. You know, in my former church, there was this faithful sister. Every week, she would go to the church to clean it up. And one thing I never forget, and that was, she would clean the 2 glass doors at the church entrance. You know, in my former church, there was, you know, a glass door, 2 of them. She would clean the 2 glass doors, spick and span, spotless, clean. You couldn't even find any fingerprints. Wow, think about that. That's what she did. She chose to honor God, to glorify God in that kind of what we consider tedious tasks. And last week, Eva and I attended the fellowship of Isaiah Thanksgiving Gathering. And in the sharing, somebody said, when we attend fellowship meetings, when we take part in fellowship, ministry, when we do all that, we already encourage people. We can glorify God just by attending. Wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? Now, if you haven't really gone to any Bible study group yet, you know, Pastor Andy has worked very hard and his leaders, I encourage you to go. You may find that, oh, boring. Studying the Word of God. You know, why don't we go bowling? Why don't we go swimming? Why don't we go rock climbing? Why don't we do what we used to do when Pastor Darrow was here? You know, my dear brothers and sisters, things are different. Even when you go to any one of these group meetings, it's good for you. Think about your leader. Think about Pastor Andy, who has put his mind and heart and soul into preparing the study for you. And when you show up, that means encouragement. When you show up, that means God is glorified. It's not just the young, you know, brothers and sisters on my left. It is, you know, you guys too, the young career people. When you go to laundry, when you go to ARC, you know, I shared with my brother Lucas. You know, sometimes he's disappointed when only one ARC member shows up. That is how disappointing. If I were him, I would feel very disappointed too. I'm all prepared for the meeting and I'm all prepared to do something with you, learning about the Word, studying about God, and yet only one person shows up. How disappointing. Of course, you know, he's not doing it for himself, right? He's doing it for God. And so when you show up, when you take part in the ministry, go to the group meetings, that speaks volumes for encouragement, for the glory of God. So let us all look at this seriously. and take part in it. You know, if the lilies in the wild, in the field, can glorify God when they blossom, how about us? You know, God has given us this precious status in Christ. We are precious in His sight. How much more we should glorify God in everything we do every day. We glorify God. It doesn't have to be in the pulpit. It doesn't have to be in the worship team. It doesn't have to be something that people can see. We can glorify God in tiny little things, in tedious chores. You know, if glorifying God is our motive, and if we are careful in using our freedom in Christ, and if we care for other people's interests, then we'll be able to be good witnesses for the gospel in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, in our homes, and even in this church. You know, when Paul summarizes this topic of Christian liberty, of freedom, he says this. He says, let us read it together. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, when Christ was on earth, he never insisted on his status. He never insisted on his position. He never insisted on his rights. It's just like what Philippians 2 verse 6 to 8 says. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, when Christ was here on earth, he had only one goal. And that goal was to glorify his Father in heaven. And so before he left, he prayed to his Father in heaven in John chapter 17, right? The well-known high priestly prayer. He said this to God. Chapter 17, verse 4. I have brought you, meaning God the Father, glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. If we follow Christ's examples, everything we do is for the glory of God. And then in this case, even the most disgusting, the most tedious things, if we do it willingly, heartily, those things are considered noble, honorable in God's sight. And so, brothers and sisters, I invite you this morning to follow Christ's examples so that in everything we do it for the glory of God. You know, this morning in the first Chinese service, I share this. You know, I love cleaning. I clean toilets at home. I clean washrooms. I clean toilet bowls. You say, wow, you know, you're a pastor. You're a man of the house. And you do all that? Shouldn't it be left to the women? No. You men hear that, right? How would you like to sit in a toilet where everything is so untidy, so dirty? You don't even want to stay there any second longer, right? So, brothers and sisters, in everything we do it for the glory of God. So let us come together at home, in school, in our community, in church, let us remember that. That is our goal. Glorifying God. And in the past few weeks, we learned that God has given us freedom in Christ. We can do everything. I have the right to do anything. But before I do anything, I should consider the following questions. The first one is, would this matter enslave me and make me lose my freedom? The second is, would this matter become a stumbling block to people and cause them to fall? And then the third is this matter beneficial? And three more to go. Does this matter build up people? Would this matter bring me pleasure only or bring God glory to God? And the last one, would this matter help spread the good news and lead people to salvation in Christ? Now, all these six questions are printed in your bulletin today, in the flap. You know, you can tear off that flap, put it on your fridge throughout this week. Every time you open the fridge, look at those six questions. I'm going to school now. I'm going to university. I'm going to work. I'm going to meet somebody. Consider all these six questions. Am I doing it for the glory of God? So, brothers and sisters, let us join hands together. Let us come together and become one group of people that can really glorify God in everything we do. And let us encourage one another and edify and build up one another so that this become a powerful community of God, people of power. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, once again we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit who illumines our minds and opens our hearts. Lord, we have heard. We have studied. May you grant us that willingness, that determination to put it into practice. Lord, we have to admit, many a time we just think of ourselves first. What's it in it for me? What do I gain anything from it? Oh Lord, we ask you. Ask you to help us to think about your glory first, to think about other people's interests first. Lord, may you build up this community. May this community of the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church be a community of love, be a community of care, be a community where people can truly worship you, have fellowship with one another, and glorify you in everything we do. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, Amen.